In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jets get that win down in Tennessee. It wasn't particularly pretty. It took them a while to get going. But, I mean, that win was so critical for them, not just, of course, in the standings. But, I mean, to have Aaron Rodgers play four full quarters, make critical plays in the game to win a football game hasn't happened yet until yesterday. So that's why it was such a big deal, and losing Jermaine Johnson is a problem. We understand that, and maybe that changes the Hassan Reddick negotiations, even though I don't think it will. But, I mean, to me, this is not a nitpick situation with the Jets at all. I know that there's things that you want to bring up there. I know that there's going to be things about the defense still that you have issues with, and I understand, but we have been sitting here for years now talking about Aaron Rodgers as the Jets quarterback. That was the first time yesterday where you saw him as the leader of the team, standing in there, making the throws, winning a football game on the road, and coming out of it healthy. So that, to me, is the big building block going forward. And they got a short week against a team that they got to beat in the New England Patriots, who have played exceptionally well the first couple of weeks
of the season. Well, their offense is very, very one-dimensional. And Jacoby Brissett is not really attempting that many passes. They don't have any game breakers. It's run the ball, don't turn the ball over, and try to get turnovers on defense. You know, and that's basically the way they're playing. You know, I do a spot with WEEI in the mornings on Monday. And, you know, one of the discussion points is, when are they going to put Drake May in? When are they going to put Drake May in? They're not going to put him in on a short week unless Jacoby Brissett gets hurt this week against the Jets during the game. But the way that they're playing right now, this is where you feast if you are the Jets defense. As you know that you have to stop the run. They don't have great game breakers to speak of right now at wide receiver, and they're not really even throwing the ball down the field. So this is a game where the Jet defense has got to bow its back, and it's got to really step up. And, you know, this is where they can get a little bit healthy in terms of, you know, holding down an opposing team's offense. As far as Aaron's concerned, you know, against San Francisco, I felt like we saw glimpses of the arm strength, the accuracy, the quickness, all the stuff that he brings to the table. And yesterday, I think we saw a little bit more of it. And it really, I'm telling you, a 40-year-old guy playing with a 20-year-old running back, a 23-year-old running back, a 22-year-old wide receiver, however, 24, whatever Garrett Wilson is. I mean, he's got around him this youth and exuberance and this speed that all of his experience, coupled with all of that talent around him, they should have a huge offensive year, and it will come and it will get better as each and every week. They'll have an off week here or there, but you know, you could see that the Jets have, and I thought the pass protection was pretty damn good yesterday for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part. And you know, I love the out and up down the sideline, and I love some of the play designs that Hackett had yesterday. And you know, a couple of these throws that Aaron's making, you know, he's doing that at the line of scrimmage. You know, he knows, he can see that it's press coverage. He can see what's going on, and he knows exactly where to go with the football. So, hey, man, that was good. I didn't think it was going to be easy. But then again, the other team's got Will Levis.
Yeah, who did another one of his circus act turnovers in a critical situation in the game.
And you remember we talked about their schedule at the beginning of the year and the quarterbacks that they're going to face over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They have to beat those quarterbacks because those quarterbacks are going to make those mistakes. And that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's the opposite of what the Giants' schedule is, where you now have
games that you need to win. And it starts on Thursday, and then right after that, you got another rookie in Bo Nix with the Broncos. So, and then after that, you go to London, obviously, take on Sam Darnold and a Vikings team that has a surprising 2-0 start. But these next 2 weeks, man, I mean, this has got 3-1 written all over it if you do what you need to do. And losing either one of those games would be just special. I mean, especially New England. Like, I understand they played well, but, like, enough.
their games are tight because they're not turning that. They don't have a turnover this year. You know, so think about that for a second. So that's one of the reasons why the games are tight. If you just can hold on to the ball and just don't turn it over, and, you know, these games are going to be close. This is how close all of these teams are. Really, the difference comes down to the quarterback in the fourth quarter. Can he make a play? Can he not make a play? And you'd like to think that the Jets have a quarterback, as we were talking about in terms of game-winning drives, have that quarterback that can make that great throw, that can put his team in a very calm spot where Rob Saul was talking about exactly what Aaron brings to the table, which is why they went out and got him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been madness back there. You know, think about all these quarterbacks that have come through here, and maybe Mike White was the only one where there was a Joe Flacco to a certain respect too, I guess, where it was a little bit more relaxed. They could actually get the plays called. They had the formations right. They weren't calling timeout, you know, burning timeouts because they had the wrong personnel group on the field or whatever, which happens with rookie quarterbacks every year. So this to me was a extremely important game for their offense, but it also, their defense had to come up with that key turnover, and they got it in a red zone.
Yeah, and the Jermaine Johnson injury is a killer. Obviously, it's an Achilles. They said they're going to take a look at it, but obviously it does not sound good. So, you know, Hassan Reddick, once again, I mean, it doesn't sound like either side is going to budge. Joe Douglas says, I'll negotiate when he shows up. Hassan Reddick says, I'll show up when you give me a contract, and neither side is blinking. So I don't know if this changes that for the Jets and they have to change their perspective and their stance on it. But if they don't, I mean, they might as well trade him sooner than later to maybe get a piece on this team that could actually help them win.
What team are they going to trade him to, and what team is going to want to give him a new contract without seeing him play? Like, he's in nowhere's land right now.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about his press conference when he came here. There was no indication whatsoever that he was going to do this. None. And there's no way that Howie Roseman is trading a disgruntled player to Joe Douglas wanting a new contract without telling Joe Douglas that he wanted a new contract. There's no way. You can't do business like that.
Would you like six hypothetical trade packages for Hassan Reddick brought to you by Bleacher Report? Would you like to hear this?
Does one include Davante Adams?
I haven't gotten through them yet.
Although Davante Adams had a great game yesterday.
Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals get Hassan Reddick in a 6th-round pick. The Jets get a 3rd-round pick. That's number one. Number two is a little more interesting. Bengals get Hassan Reddick. Jets get T. Higgins. Detroit Lions get Hassan Reddick. Jets get a 3rd-round pick. The Raiders are here, but it's not Davante Adams for this hypothetical trade package. Raiders get Hassan Reddick. Jets get Michael Mayer, tight end. And
get out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, this is, well, I guess there's two more. Jets 49ers get Hassan Reddick. Jets get D-end Yetur Gross-Matos and a 4th-round pick. And the Commanders get Hassan Reddick. And the Jets get cornerback Emmanuel Forbes and a 2026 4th-round pick.
All right. The question is, what team out there is going to trade for Hassan Reddick under the current set of circumstances? You know, like Matt,
he needs a contract. Well, a team that wants him desperately enough to bring him in and give him a long-term deal to keep him around.
I mean, really, the player to look at and the trade to look at is basically Matt Judon to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots, you know, figured, okay, we got a 32-year-old guy who just tore his pectoral muscle, and he's coming back off of that, and he wants a new contract, and because he feels like he's been underpaid because of what he's given us as a player, we got to get rid of him. But before they got rid of him to the Falcons, I guess they had a couple teams that they could have sent him to. They went to him and said, look, we're just going to trade you. Here's a couple teams that really would like to have you, but they're not going to be giving you a new contract. You have to understand you got to go there and you got to prove your worth to them. And we'll see Matt tonight on the field because, you know, the Falcons are playing the Eagles on Monday Night Football. And I think Matt said, okay, I'll leave the Patriots. I'm not going to become a pain in the ass for the new team that I'm going to play for. I'm actually going to play and show them that they should give me a new contract and keep me. That's the way that went down.
Yes. Which is.
And I would have thought that that's the way it went down with the Jets and the Eagles. And maybe it just happened too early.
Well, I also think that things changed. I think that initially it was one way. And then I think that Hassan Reddick and his agent said, well, wait a second. You know, we should get a new contract here.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's. Like I said, I'm always for the player, but it really makes no sense from the player's perspective at this point.
I mean, he could lose $22 million, I think, at the end of this thing, if I was reading that correctly.
I don't think it's that much. Well, I think it's a lot, but I don't think it's that much.
Stand by. Let's see here.
Unless there's a signing bonus proration that's attached to it.
Yeah, could lose. All right. Jets hold out. Let's see. Lose $22 million or get traded. Yeah, so with combined with the $14 million in salary, combined with the fines he'd pile up, it could be $22 million. So.
I mean, he's not going to pay fines if he's not getting paid.
But he.
You know what I'm saying?
But. Right. But no. He is getting fined because he's not there.
Oh, yeah, but where's the money coming from? His salary.
I'm confused. So if he's not showing up, he's not getting paid, and he's getting fined on top of it, I thought. So then you're so basically.
But I was like, he's not paying any fine. I mean, there may be a fine there, but I don't know where he's paying it from.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just one article saying it could be $22
million. Yeah, I don't.
Bottom line is again, not, it's, doesn't it's, seem smart.
An NFL contract does not really make total sense. I mean, you got to look at every single contract, look at every single nuance in that contract before you really know exactly what's going on.
Let's go to Conrad in Cherry Hill joins us this morning. What's up, Conrad?
Good morning, Boring Geo. So I want to start the show by calling and apologizing to my beautiful, beautiful girlfriend who came over yesterday, who's a diehard Giant fan as me, came over to watch the game, and she was looking so immaculate, and we lost the game the way we did. She was so disappointed, and I turned around and looked at her. I said, baby, I apologize for the way this game is playing, and I'm sorry. So looking at the game yesterday, I came away with a couple of things, and a couple of them came to knocking on the coach. And one thing I'm going to say about this regime, I don't want them gone. I'm tired of the rebuild and going over the process again. I want to give him another shot with a new quarterback. That being said, Coach Day will have to do a better job at managing the time clock. Yesterday, I thought the two timeouts towards the end of the game, where he called one, he was trying to call it. Maybe a couple seconds came off the clock because the referee didn't see it. I think that he should have been a lot more active to trying to get at least some time on the clock to get a shot down the field, to get an opportunity to do something. I think that I didn't like the way he managed the clock, leaving one timeout just to freeze the kicker to me at that point made no sense. I think he could have done a better job. And Wandale Robinson, with a guy that's like that, that's so shifty, he caught the touchdown. But I also think that we need to design plays that caters to him and his skill set, because I think he's a matchup nightmare for linebackers. I can't comprehend the reason why we drafted the guy, but yet we don't use him as much as we should. So those are the two knocks I have. And again, I apologize to my beautiful girlfriend.
Conrad, no criticism for the defense not getting off the field.
Yes, Booms. I saw that yesterday. Thank you so much. Yes, even though they gave a field goals, but I think that there were the first quarter, Washington actually had the ball the entire quarter by the time it was time for us to get the ball. I think that's a knock on the defense. I think we have to get a lot more three and outs. Yes, I know we have a new defensive coordinator, but for crying out loud, when you look at this defense for the first two games, I'm sorry. I think Wink defense was a better defense, put a lot more pressure, even though at the end of the whole tender with Wink, the defense, you know, where the rankings is may not show that, but I thought that the defense had a lot more fight. So there's Shane Bowen. I think that he needs to do a lot of a better job.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's just nuts about all of this in football and sports is like, Conrad's right. You're right about the criticisms. But at the same time, if their kicker didn't pop his hamstring, they win the football game.
If Malik
Nabers doesn't drop that ball, they win the football game. We look at this totally differently.
You had a rookie quarterback control the ball for over 37 minutes, run 69 plays, and complete 23 of 29 passes. That's a rookie quarterback, and you don't get one turnover. Not one.
Nope.
I mean, this defense has had its hands full the first 2 weeks of the season, and they've gotten beaten by Sam Darnold, God bless him, and Jaden Daniels now, and they've got run on. That is not a good sign.
Yeah.
That is not a good sign. And, you know, when a team runs 69 freaking plays, now I know they only kick field goals and score touchdowns, but still, your offense is not on the field. Now your offense has to do their part, like we talked about the Jets against San Francisco. You can't just go three and out every time you got the ball, and you can't drop first down, you know, catches. It's a little bit of everything. When you lose, you start looking at everything. I know the kicking situation is big, but how about the defense? How about the drop pass? How about the Devin Singletary fumble?
Yeah, it was huge because I had all the momentum in the world after that, after scoring the touchdown, taking the lead, get the ball back,
and we're going to be
driving down the field.
Talking about the coach's job security because of the kicker.
Well, because it looked bad. I understand why he was getting some heat with that. But they're also, 0-2 after a miserable year last year with all these games coming up where they're not going to be favored. I mean, you could look at that schedule easily and be like, you know what? They could be 0-7, 0-8.
I mean, if Washington had a reasonably competent passing attack, even though they completed 23 of 29, but I mean a down the field passing attack with Terry McLaurin, they should, and they don't yet because of the shortcomings of a rookie quarterback. They will eventually, but the fact that there was no passing attack really to worry about in terms of, you know, over the top. To give up that many yards, that many plays, that many first downs, and that time of possession, you know, that's on the defense. And that's two defensive performances in a row where they didn't really do much.
Yeah, and that's a problem, especially when you go out there and you acquire Brian Burns and you put him with Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. You think those guys are going to wreak havoc, and they just have not.
I mean, they had five sacks, but I think a lot of that, you know, is probably the rookie quarterback, you know?
Yeah. Just sort of finding himself in those situations.
Actually, they only have one sack. I'm sorry. They only have one sack. It was five sacks for Washington. They had one sack yesterday.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, before we get to Jerry's update, I got to give a congratulations to Sal Ciampi Jr. He won his 166th game as head coach at East Islip High School.
Wow.
Friday night, surpassing his dad, Sal Ciampi, in total wins as the head football coach at East Islip. Sal had 165. Now little Sal, or Sal Jr., has 166 as they wiped out West Islip 38-7.
Yeah, I saw.
On Friday night, the two teams hadn't played in 10 years because East Islip was down in Division III. They're now up in Division II. And I hearken back to 1978 when my East Islip football team beat West Islip 38-0, which was an awesome game. I think it was the second game of our season. This was the first game, of course, for East Islip on Friday night. So congratulations to those guys. That was awesome. And I want to say thank you to everybody who showed up to Garmani on Friday night. I know that Jerry couldn't make it. Al was there. And I noticed something about Al Dukes.
Oh.
And I want to see if you guys notice this as well.
Mm.
Al, do you know what I'm going to talk about here?
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, Al has, I think, only two nice dress shirts that he wears. Because every time we're out and it requires a nice dress shirt, he wears one of those two shirts. And I was standing with Al and Gina, and we were talking. And I said, Al, do you have another shirt? Because I think I remembered this shirt from last year and the year before that.
Which is incorrect, because I checked. I have a photo from last year. I wore a different shirt, but I wore
the other one.
Yeah, I wore the other one. So I wrote, they're on a two-year rotation.
Oh, they're on a two-year rotation. So the shirt that you wore Friday night at Garmani
you'll
was the one that you wore 2 years ago.
Yeah, you'll see it in 2 years. Next year will be the one
I wore last year.
And if I would have gone, it would have been 3 years in a row for this. Oh, that you gave me.
All right. Well, I mean, I was wondering if there was somebody down there at Garmani that would do a makeover with you guys, and I'm sure that Shorehaven Wealth Partners would pay for that.
Yeah, I mean, and Janelle is so kind, and he'll himself will dress Al Dukes. I'm surprised. I thought that's where this was going. Like, Janelle gave him four shirts or
whatever. No, black jeans, and it's a black shirt with blue stripes in it.
I wore slacks. I did not wear black jeans.
That's right, and then you had those old black shoes that you always wear.
Yeah, those are.
I mean, we got to get some new black shoes. We got to update.
They're so comfortable, though.
I would have had black jeans, black sneakers, and that same shirt that you gave me three years ago.
My black jeans actually look too faded. I was like, I can't get away with these black jeans.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, you can. You're Al Dukes.
All right. Well, anyway, Friday night was a success for East Iceland football and for our foundation at Garmani. So thank you and congratulations.
I have a serious question.
Yes.
If I opened up your closet, is it full?
Yeah, it's filled with things that are not wearable to really nice events.
Most people say
casual.
Most people say that you only wear about 20% of your wardrobe, depending on how big it is. I would agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we have so much, it's probably true, sadly.
I weed mine out a lot. I'll go through them and weed away.
You like to weed out stuff. No, seen that way.
You donate those clothes, you put them in a bag, drop them off somewhere?
Yeah, I bring them to a place.
Yeah, bring them to a place.
Yeah, I don't put them in the dumpsters. I don't know what that is. Those dumpster things.
Oh, the dumpster, the clothing drops?
Yeah, I saw a documentary about those. A lot of times there's people that take them and then sell them. And they don't go to poor people.
So God. You got to make sure your clothes go to poor people.
I take my clothes to a place in Asbury Park where they put them on a shelf and people can buy them.
Okay.
For cheaper.
Do you get money back? Is like a consignment shop?
I do not.
No.
Celebrity owned. Al Dukes t-shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. I mean, I'm sure that at Bradley Beach, if you opened up a pop-up store of your owned t-shirts or worn t-shirts, you'd get a couple of people to bite on that.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah. Well, pop-up summer thing next summer.
Time to get some new shirts for you, though. I mean, honestly.
I do need, when I was getting dressed for that event, I was like, I really need to figure out one more good dress shirt.
Here's a question for you. So, like, when I asked you about the shirt, and I said, I've seen your shirt many times before. When are you going to get a new shirt? The way you responded to me was like, you figured that that's why I was walking over to you to say something about the shirt. So you must have had it in the back of your mind that somebody was going to say something about the shirt that I was wearing tonight or that you were wearing.
Yeah, I did think I would get away with it because I wore a different shirt the year prior.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to trick people.
Right.
Into thinking, oh, this is a new shirt.
You didn't trick me. And by the way, when I brought it up, Gina found it to be very funny. Because she knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
Did she say to you when you put that shirt on, you're wearing that shirt again?
No, I said to her, I really only have two shirts.
But this was before I actually came up to you.
Yeah, this was prior to leaving. I said, This is what I got.
On one hand, you got to hand it to him because there's so many of us that fluctuate back and forth with weights. I mean, he could have the same shirt's going to fit him for 40 years. Not a lot of us can say that.
I want to see how far back I could go in photos and see if I can find that shirt from a decade.
Do you remember buying that shirt?
I do. It was a long time ago.
You remember where you bought that shirt?
Banana Republic.
That's a Banana Republic shirt.
It is.
Okay.
It might be 10 years old.
Yes, for sure.
Wow. That's why I said I know. I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, I know, but 10 years.
If we ever did something for Odyssey, I bet you he wears it to Craig's Hall of Fame.
I was planning on it.
Perfect.
It's his casket shirt as well.
I did wear that to a funeral this summer.
No, I meant when you're in
the casket. No, when you're in the casket, you've got to wear that shirt.
I'll wear a t-shirt in my casket.
Okay. All right, Jerry, let's get to the update. What's happening?
All right, we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We start with the positive, and that's the Jets.
The rookie Allen in the backfield has a receiving touchdown today for New York. Give it to him. Allen puts it to the outside. He's gone.
And that was Ian Eagle on CBS. Braylon Allen, two touchdowns on the day. The Jets beat the Titans 24-17. Aaron Rodgers threw for a couple, 176 yards on the night. And here was Rob Saleh, that go-ahead drive.
Just big catches all the way around. I mean, Garrett had a big one. Mike Williams, you know, we're second and 15. And Mike gets a big catch to extend the drive, and then we were able to finish it on the ground with Braylon, who I thought had a really nice day.
A really good day. Here was Rodgers. Nothing easy about the game, but it's a win.
These are kind of the games you look back on late in the season, and you're thankful that you won these, because if we want to be a great team, we got to win in these type of environments against teams like that.
Mentioned his 176 yards passing. 57 of those yards went to Garrett Wilson, who had four catches on the day. Not everything was great, though. See a TV show on that really good catch by Mike Williams down the sideline. C.J. Mosley, a foot injury, and Jermaine Johnson suffered an Achilles injury. Defensive tackle Solomon Thomas on that.
You know, my heart breaks for Jermaine. We don't have his back, but Jermaine's going to come back a monster. He's going to be all pro when he comes back, and we already know that.
Well, they need him to get back, but don't know if he will be this year.
And by the way, we didn't mention earlier, but Will McDonald having the best game of his life.
Yes.
And that was really encouraging to see. Sacks and forced fumbles and being active. We haven't seen him play like that ever.
He's finally grown up. Yeah. Maybe he's starting to understand exactly what his responsibilities are and doesn't have to worry about being yanked out of the lineup, especially now.
So the Jets go 1-1 through San Francisco and Tennessee. They will be home for the Patriots, their home opener, Thursday night football. All right, to the Giants we go. We heard Bob Papa last hour. This hour, Commanders Radio.
Hot is the snapper. Wait, turns, gets the snap, it's down, kick, on its way, it is up, and it is good! Washington wins 21-18!
Yeah, by kicking 7 field goals and never punting and having the ball for almost 40 minutes. Again, Commanders Radio with the call there. Jaden Daniels, 23 of 29, 226, and he ran for 44 yards as well on a big rushing day for Brian Robinson. All right, now we get to the kicking situation and more from Brian Daboll. They obviously had the issue with Graham Gano, got injured on the kick return that Washington had that was called back. He was put on the injury report on Friday with a groin injury. Leaves this game with a hamstring injury. First things first, he sums it up.
I feel bad for Graham. I feel bad for us.
Yes. Now, that having been said, the reporter says you knew, though, that Gano was kind of compromised.
Isn't that part of the deal, though? You have to, you know that it is a risk. Like, you had the same thing last year with him. Like, he came in with an injury. You're taking a risk that it could get re-injured. Why not have?
I mean, anybody can get injured, Jordan. So, again, I got you. He was chasing a kickoff return. He pulled his hamstring. I'm not making excuses.
This one is not what the reporter says, but basically, he's kind of intimating. It seems like common sense, no?
Isn't a player at a higher risk of injury when he's dealing with a soft tissue injury?
Yeah, I'd say I'm not a doctor.
Which he used a couple of times. Yeah. I'm not a doctor.
He's annoyed. He's absolutely annoyed.
Well, he was annoyed,
but
yes.
But you can't win with the Giants, because if they lose and they get blown out, it's like, oh, there's no effort. You got to give me at least some effort. Give me some effort. Yesterday, everybody was giving effort. They were close. And they have this crazy thing happen with their kicker that nobody could have predicted.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my follow-up would be, well, there are trainers and doctors on this team that you probably confer with on situations like this.
He said that. He said he talked to the trainers.
Yeah, so then, yeah. I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Well, they asked him about a backup.
How seriously did you contemplate elevating Jude?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into discussions that we had.
Did you at least contemplate it, or was that not even?
Yeah,
you guys thought, again, we thought 100% he's good. We don't need to
Graham
worry about
it. We thought Graham was good. I think he would have been good if he didn't pull his hamstring.
So this was basically almost the entire press conference.
We're on the Cleveland.
He didn't say that, but he could have. So then you go to Daniel Jones. So he played relatively well. He was 16 of 28, 178, two touchdowns, no picks, didn't turn it over, had the drop by Neighbors, where the Giants probably would have, you think they probably would have won the game. They would have had the ball at the 10-yard line with 2 minutes to go. And one of the questions in the post, he was asked about his game for sure, but then he was also asked about the article. And I know other people have talked about this, but specifically the Adam Schefter article talking about how he could be treated like Russell Wilson now during the season because of the injury guarantee.
Yeah. I hadn't heard the report. This is the first time hearing of it. I think my job is to play well and to put this team in a position to win games. And
yeah, so that's pretty much where
he did play well.
He did. That's absolutely.
I mean, the nice thing about what I saw yesterday from him, I saw a little bit more decisiveness, where he must have worked this past week on just getting rid of the ball and throwing it the right way, not always off his back foot. So I saw some real throws with like conviction, standing in there and letting it rip and knowing where to go with the ball. So that was good.
What are they, just the second team in the history of the league to score three touchdowns, not give up a touchdown and lose?
I think the only team.
Is it the only? I thought it was the second.
I thought it was the second team.
Oh, maybe it is the second.
89 Bears.
89 Bears did that?
Oh, I'm sorry, 89 Rams.
Okay.
Rams, Bears. Let's get to a couple of other things. Giants in Cleveland Sunday. The Sunday night game, Texans beat the Bears 19-13, speaking of them. And then you had this wild play in the Minnesota game.
Second and nine for the Vikings from their own three. Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown!
Yeah, That was a great throw.
Vikings radio.
Darnold is taking him to the playoffs.
I'll tell you, this is a great throw. I mean, he threw that ball 55 yards in the air, hits him in stride behind two defenders for the 49ers. And the back judge.
Someone's got to sign that guy.
That guy is amazing. Yeah. That guy ran right with Jefferson the whole way.
No, and he stopped and turned on a dime. I mean, that is an athlete right there. Yeah, I mean, I was encouraged by Sam Darnold this year, and I
2-0
so far so good.
So Sam Darnold went to quarterback school in San Francisco last year, and now is playing with Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason. That's one of the main reasons, actually, that I said that he could probably have a good year and comeback player. If you're going to give it to someone without an injury and going bouncing around like Geno Smith, I mean, he's got to keep it going, but it's a really good start.
You want to hear, I know I don't have much time here, you want to hear the latest Kevin Harlan thing?
Sure.
Yeah. So he's doing this game for CBS on TV, and how they always send it back to the studio? Boomer used to do the highlights. Well, in this case, it was Nate. They had some technical issues, and Harlan takes over. It's about a minute.
And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you. Rodgers against Tennessee, and they're going deep, and it was caught by the Titans. Ridley with a touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis, with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank you. Second down six.
He is the best. I don't care what anybody says about screaming, hollering, this, that, and the other thing. That guy's got passion.
Yeah, he's got a lot of passion.
It's like when Wischusen's doing the jacket.
Yes, Bob's great.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No doubt.
You hear the passion in his voice when it's required.
Yep, no doubt. Eagles, Falcons tonight, and just quickly with the baseball, the Yankees did beat the Red Sox 5-2, 53rd home run of the season for Aaron Judge. Carlos Rodon, 5 1/3. Yankees lead Baltimore by 3 games atop the AL East. The Orioles lost to Detroit 4-2. Yankees in Seattle tomorrow after an off day.
Detroit is in this thing. Is in
the wild card race, yeah.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. Yep. Mets lost to the Phillies 2-1. JT Realmuto, the game-winning RBI single off Edwin Diaz in the ninth. The bigger concern would be the health of Francisco Lindor, leaving the game with back soreness after a base hit. Had all sorts of issues all weekend, as we know. Mets Nationals tonight, Sean Manaea the start. They are tied, the Mets are, with Atlanta for the third wild card as the Braves lost to the Dodgers 9-2. Braves play the Dodgers one more time later today.
All right, Boomer Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you experience a lot of things in your NFL career, but
I have a feeling you didn't experience what I'm about to bring up that Malik Willis experienced yesterday in the Packers' win over the Colts, and that is being snapped a football that his center puked on.
So Malik Willis, on a third down, pass play is called, center pukes on the football, snaps it to Malik Willis, and he can't throw it because it's covered in puke. And then Matt LaFleur answers a question in the post game, and I asked him, you know, why didn't you throw the ball? And he goes, well, because Josh puked on the ball and I couldn't get a grip on the thing. And he's like, wow, I've never heard that before. So, you know, I had a teammate at Belport crap himself against Central Islip on the road. I saw that, but I've never seen anybody puke on a football. Have you?
I've seen guys puke on the field. I have not seen guys. No center that I have ever played with puked on the football. Now, they had sweaty asses. The ball would come up, and, you know, it might be slippery, especially when we play, because we didn't play with these manipulated balls that they play with today.
Yeah.
We had to play with brand-new footballs like that one in front of you. And, no, I never had a center puke on a ball. I do remember a couple games where centers were sweating so profusely that sweat would come out of their helmet and would get on the ball.
Mm, yeah.
And then they go to snap it, and the ball's slippery.
Slippery, yeah.
And just so you know, all 11 players on the field have issues that they're dealing with, and you have to be somewhat sensitive to each of those players' issues.
Yeah.
Especially when you're the quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you can scream and yell at a guy, but at the end of the day, you want him to do what he's supposed to do and be able to do it comfortably and not without anxiety.
Right.
So these centers, when, and I'm sure Phil went through this and every quarterback's gone through this, you have a very special connection with that guy because you're talking about, you know, defensive fronts, pass protections, run plays. Sometimes they're smarter than you and they want to tell you what they want to do as opposed to you telling them what to do. But yeah, there are interesting moments where the center does do some things that adversely affect the quarterbacks like this.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur said, matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean Hockley, and he said, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely, please do that, because you're talking about a critical situation. It's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. I think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Do we know why he vomited on the football?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was like a dehydration thing or it was a stomach virus. I really don't know. Is that the play right there? That's the puke play? Yeah, look, I guess that's the puke play.
I wouldn't want the ball.
That's so gross.
Anybody wouldn't be touching it.
That's so gross.
I'm just wondering if he just did it because that's something he normally does, or maybe.
No, but it's not something he normally does.
Did he come down with the flu? Does he have the stomach flu? Now it's on Malik Willis's hands, and he goes to lick his hands, and he's going to throw up.
Yeah, I know. The whole team, maybe now, is going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope not, because that would be terrible. But yeah, I mean,
so bizarre. I can't even. Ugh. So, because they won the game, the tape meeting room today, when they're looking at the tape of the game, it's going to be amazing.
They're going to laugh at him.
They're going to be laughing their asses off.
Right.
It's going to be so funny. It's going to be great, and that's what winning does for you, especially when you win a game with a quarterback that you didn't know whether or not he was going to be able to run the game, but he was actually better than Anthony Richardson.
I can't even imagine. Well, first of all, I can't imagine being a quarterback in an NFL game, but sitting there and getting a ball covered in puke snapped to me. Like,
I wonder what he ate that morning.
Ah!
Eggs?
Ah!
Protein?
I don't know, man. Whatever it was, it was on the football.
Maybe a steak. Down. Now, if he had, like, spaghetti and meat sauce or something.
Oh, God, I mean, come on.
Sometimes they like to eat carbohydrates before games.
Usually you see these guys throw up on the football field. It's more like liquidy. You don't see a lot of chunkiness.
Yeah, you see, like, a lot of Gatorade.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's what
usually happens when it's really hot.
Yep. So, man, maybe that's what happened. All right, we'll take a quick break, get back to your Jets and Giants calls coming up. Nick.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.